Broad Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man of War Boulevard. Sunday morning Bible class is at 9:45 a.m. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday services at 7 p.m. My
soul be... I'm going to read a verse of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And I've entitled this morning's message, Have I Been Called? I'm asking the question, has God called me? Has God called you? In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, we read, And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. They which are called. Am I in that group? Are you in that group? Not everybody is. Now, I hope we will know the answer to that question by the end of this message. Have I been called? In verse 15, it says, For this cause, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament. The Old Testament could not save. Now, by the Old Testament, I'm not just talking about the books of Genesis through Malachi. I'm talking about the Old Covenant, the covenant of works, the Ten Commandments, the sacrifices of the law, the feast days of the law, the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial law, the Old Testament. The Old Testament could not save. The Old Testament shows our need of righteousness, but it doesn't give us the power to perform a righteousness. The Old Testament shows us our need of a sacrifice, but it doesn't give us a sacrifice that actually puts away sin. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. The Old Testament shows us our need of a priest to represent us before God, but it doesn't give us a priest who can actually represent us. These priests under the Old Testament were sinful men, just like we are. They actually couldn't come into God's presence. They represented something. The Old Testament could not save. The New Testament does. And Christ is called the mediator of the New Testament or the New Covenant. Now, what is a mediator? A mediator is not what we think of as a mediator in our day. You see, in our day, we attach the idea of being a negotiator with a mediator. A mediator is someone who negotiates between two contending parties. The mediator tries to get one party to make concessions and another to make compromises and so on in order to bring them together. Now, that's not the kind of mediator the Lord Jesus Christ is. You see, God doesn't negotiate with sinners. God never compromises, and God never concedes. Why should He? He's God. In the New Testament, this word mediator is literally a go-between. One who brings the two together, not by making compromises, but by making peace. He made peace with God, and He made a way for God to be at peace with me. He's my mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. In the New Testament, a mediator is literally a guarantee. He guarantees something. He secures something that would not have been obtained unless he secured it. Now, Hebrews uses this word in the book of Hebrews three times, a mediator, and every time it means a guarantee. He's the guarantee of the New Testament. He's the reason the New Testament saves. Now, the New Testament, what is that all about? Well, it's talking about the covenant of grace, but in this context, he's talking about the New Testament as a will, like a last will and testament. Look in the verse 16 of the same chapter, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. He's calling the New Testament a will. This is God's will. This is God's purpose. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So the New Testament is God's will. It's God's will. Listen to this scripture. John chapter 6, verse 38, the Lord said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now there's God's will. It's God's will for all that he gave to Christ to be saved. That's God's last will and testament. It's his will that all of the elect be saved. And in order for that will to come to pass, Christ had to die. Listen to the scripture again, Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now Christ died. That's why he's the guarantee of this New Testament of salvation for all that the Father gave him. He died. The sins of God's people, my sin, literally became his, so he became guilty of it. He bore the shame of it. He bore the guilt of it. He became guilty before God. My sin became his so that he was guilty. That's why he died. The wages of sin is death. He died because the sins of his people became his, and through that death, he redeemed. Now listen to me real carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ did not make redemption a possibility. He actually redeemed. Now, what I hear preached in our day basically is this. Jesus Christ redeemed everybody. He paid for everybody's sins. But there's something you need to do to make what he did work. It could be that your sins are being paid for and you wind up in hell anyway if you don't do something that makes what he did work for you. Now, my dear friends, that's just another form of salvation by works. There's no gospel in that message. You see, the only hope that I have of being accepted by God is that Christ died for me. If you tell me that he can die for me and pay for my sins and I wind up in hell anyway, you've taken away the only hope I have, because my only hope of standing accepted before God is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He actually redeemed. He didn't make salvation a possibility. He saved. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He didn't lay down his life for goats. He didn't lay down his life for those who do not believe. He did not lay down his life for those who wind up in hell. He laid down his life for all who come to him. He laid down his life for the believer. He laid down his life for those the Father gave him. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. His redemption was a successful redemption. Everybody he died for, they're redeemed. If he died for me, I must be saved. I can't run the risk of the hazard of the possibility of being anything but saved. Oh, the preciousness of his blood. When he said, it is finished, my salvation was accomplished. Now here's my question. How can I know if he died for me? I know he died for his people. I know he died for those who believe. I know he died for everyone who comes to him. How can I know if he died for me? Now listen to this scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. He says, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first law, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Who did he redeem? They which are called. Called by God. Now the Bible has a whole lot to say about this thing of being called by God. We read in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. A lot of people quote that verse, and they'll quote half of it. And you know, everything works together for good. And people say, well, I just believe somehow everything's going to be fine. Everything works together for good. All things work together. Finish it. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, let me go on reading in that passage of Scripture. 4. Whom He did foreknow. He didn't foreknow everybody in this sense. That word actually means foreloved. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. There we have the great chain of salvation, beginning with God's foreknowledge and ending in glorification. And in it is calling. You see, you can't make your election sure unless you make your calling sure. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:10 to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You will not make your calling, your election sure until you first make your calling sure. Now, does God call everyone? The answer to that is no. He does not call everyone, because everybody He calls, He saves. Everyone He calls, they come to Him. If He calls everyone the same, and some respond and some don't, that would put salvation in man's hands and not in God's hands. And that's not the way it is. Salvation is in God's hands. He's absolutely sovereign. Those He calls. Now, let me show you this from the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read, verse 22, for the Jews, that's the religious fellows, they require a sign. They want to see something tangible that makes them think God is in it. The Greeks seek after wisdom. This is the intellectuals. They want something that they can feel good, makes their intellect, they feel like they're smart. But, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. There's the gospel, who He is and what He did. Christ crucified. Now, unto the Jews, this message is a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called. Don't miss that. To some, Christ crucified is a stumbling block. To others, it's sheer foolishness. But unto them which are literally the called. Called of God. Now, this call in the Scriptures is described as a high calling. We read of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's called a heavenly calling. Wherefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. It's called a holy calling. God saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, when you're called, there's something you hear. That's what it is to be called. There's something you hear. What do you hear when you're called? You hear the gospel. Paul said He called us by our gospel, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called us by the gospel. So when you're called by God, you hear the gospel. You hear it audibly, but more than that, you hear it internally. You hear the voice of God behind it. You know it's the truth. That's what me. When you hear from God, you know what you're hearing is nothing less than the truth of God. If all you hear is a preacher's opinion or a denominational distinction or distinctive, you haven't really heard from God. But when you're hearing, what you're hearing is the very truth of God. That's God calling. You know it is God's word. This is the call of the gospel. Now, this is a sovereign call. That means God calls whoever He wants to call. Mark 3:13, it said of the Lord that He called whom He would. Listen to this scripture, Romans 9:11, talking about Jacob and Esau. To the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. This is a sovereign call, and it is a gracious call. You see, he doesn't call you because he sees that you deserve his call. He doesn't call a man because they're worthy or because they're meritorious or because they have good works that God thinks he can use or because they have talents that God thinks he can use. No, it's a gracious calling. Listen to this scripture from 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things which are wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. This is a most gracious calling. And because this is a sovereign call, and because this is a gracious call, it's a most effectual call. In other words, when God calls, people respond. Christ said, Lazarus, come forth. Could Lazarus have said, no, I'm not going to? No, he that was dead came forth. When the Lord said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house. You know what Zacchaeus did? He made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Oh, what a glorious call this is. Now, remember, a high and a heavenly and a holy calling. If God's called you, if he's called me, he's called us to something. Galatians 5:13 says he's called us unto liberty. You know what Christian liberty is? People get this confused. People think, well, liberty is getting to do certain things. Christian liberty is not having any debts. Christian liberty is knowing I have all that I need in Christ, and I don't need to do anything. I'm not in bondage. I don't have to worry about, well, have I done enough? All God requires, I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm complete in Him, and I need nothing. And I'm free. I'm free. You know, most people's religion is an unhappy thing. Most people have bad enough religion to make them miserable, make them feel guilty. They don't get to do what they really want to do, and they're doing what they really don't want to do. But that's not the case with a believer. I'm free. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my want to. You see, when God saves you, He changes your want to. And that's what happens with a believer. It's a call to liberty, and it's a call to peace. Colossians 3:15 says you're called to peace. Peace with God. And the reason I'm at peace with God is God's at peace with me. He's not mad at me. He says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, regarding all of His people, I know the thoughts I think of you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring to you an expected end. God is at peace with me because Christ made my peace with God. I've heard people say, have you made your peace with God? No, I haven't. Christ made my peace with God, and I am at peace with Him because He's at peace with me. And I'm at peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not competing. You know, most religion, it seems like they have a competition. Who's the most blessed? Who's the holiest? Who's kind of a competition in who's getting God's favor the most? And it's not that way with God's children. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We all have all we need. We don't have... My brother, I've got everything I need. I don't want what he has. I'm happy for him. And we're called peacemakers. God called us to peace. God called us to light. Peter said, you've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. I have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I have light as to how God can be just and yet justify somebody like me when I'm sinful, and yet make me just before Him and righteous before Him. That light is in the gospel. We're called to light. Now, I see in the Scriptures three evidences that will show me and show you whether or not we're truly called of God. Now, the first evidence is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. Now, here's the first evidence that I can see as to whether or not I have been called of God. Remember, He calls whom He will. Am I one of them? If I am, I see Jesus Christ as the power of God. Not one who God made powerful, but I see Him as the mighty power of God. Now, God's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Whatever He wills, He has the power to make sure it comes to pass. And Christ is the power of God. He's the creative power of God. Christ spake the world into existence. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the creative power of God. He's the power of God in providence. Hebrews 1:2 says He upholds all things by the word of His power. Everything that happens, He's in control of. There's nothing He's not in control of. He reigns. He's sovereign. He has a will. He has the power to make sure His will comes to pass. And He does make His will come to pass. Everything that happens in providence, He's in control of. He purposed it in eternity. He reigns. He really is the Lord. It's not an empty title. He really is the Lord. He's the Lord of providence, and most especially, He's the Lord of salvation. He saved us. It's His work and His work alone. What power He displayed when He became a man. The infinite God became flesh. What power He displayed when He never sinned. Oh, the power of that sinless life. What power He displayed in His death when He died. He actually wiped out my sin. Everybody He died for, their sin's gone. It's wiped out. That's why they must be saved. What power He demonstrated in His resurrection when He gave Himself life and raised Himself from the dead. And when He was raised, all of God's people were justified, cleared of all guilt, just before God. What power there is in His intercession when He represents His people. If He prays for me, everything's fine. You know, when He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know what? The Father forgave them. Everybody He prays for, they must be saved. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which You've given me. For they are Thine. God's people see Jesus Christ as the power of God. And we see Christ Jesus as the wisdom of God. Now, this is how wise God is. God's all wise. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's all wise. And God, in His wisdom, has made a way for Himself to remain just and yet declare Todd Nybert to be just when Todd Nybert, in and of himself, is a sinful man. And He does it in a way that honors His justice and His righteousness. What wisdom that He's made a way to be just and yet justify the ungodly. Oh, I see the wisdom of God. Men couldn't come up with this. And if they could, they couldn't execute it. But He can, and He does. God's people see Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's the first evidence. Now, here's the second evidence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, we read, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours." Those who are called, call upon the name of the Lord. The called, call. Here's the evidence of calling. If God calls me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call on His name. Now, to call on His name doesn't simply mean I know what His name is and I use the right name. When I call on His name is who He is. It's the person behind the name. I call on His justice to save me. I call on His sovereignty to save me. I call on His mercy to save me. I say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm calling upon Your name. Save me for Your name's sake. Save me for Christ's sake. Oh, I'm always praying that prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm always calling on His name. This is what the called do. They call. And thirdly, the called receive. They receive. Now, back to our text in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The called receive. Now, if God gives you something, you know what you do? You receive it. And if you don't receive it, He never gave it. He never gives something that's not received. If it's not received, He never gave it. The called receive. Now, there's no merit in receiving. False religion makes that act of reception the act of salvation. God gives everybody salvation, but one receives it and another doesn't. And the one who receives it's saved, and the one who fails to receive what God gave him is not saved. And they make the act of reception the act of salvation. And that's foolishness. That's foolishness. If God gave you something, you'll receive it. He never gives something that is not received. You see, everything a believer has is received from Him. Paul says, who makes you to differ, and what do you have that you didn't receive? Everything we have, we've received as a free gift. Listen to these scriptures. We read in John 20:27 that we received the Holy Spirit. And we received the Holy Spirit because He gave it. In Acts 10:49, we received the remission of sins. And we receive the remission of sins because He forgave our sins. We receive of His fullness in John 1:16. And the reason we receive of His fullness is He gave of His fullness. In Romans 1:5, we're said to receive grace. And it's because He gave us grace. In 2 Corinthians 4:1, we receive mercy. It's because He gave mercy. In Romans 5:17, we're said to receive the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is not something you do in order to be. It's something you received as a gift. His righteousness. We receive the adoption of sons in Galatians 4:5. In Romans 5:11, says we receive the atonement or the reconciliation. In Acts 1:8, we receive power. That's the strength to do. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says we receive the knowledge of the things freely given to us of God. John 2:12 says the anointing which you received of Him. The reason we believe what we do is because He's anointed us and taught us. 2 Peter 1:9, we receive the salvation of our souls. And here in our text, we receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You see, everything God does is eternal. He is not in time like you and I are. There's no yesterday and tomorrow with God. It's all in the present. And God's people have always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been a time when they were not. And all of God's blessings we receive. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He saved us and He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The saving came before the calling. And the calling came because of the saving. And all God has to give, every believer receives. The called receive. Now, we have this message on cassette tape and CD. If you call the church, or write, or send an email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
By grace I'm saved, grace free and boundless.
Mm-hmm. You have been listening to a message by our pastor, Todd Niver. Address all correspondence to Pastor Todd Niver, care of Todd's Road Grace Church.